The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, October 2nd. We're talking about vaccine mandates and asking, are they constitutional? There's a lot of debate and many court challenges as the federal and local governments have put various vaccine requirements in place in an effort to fight COVID-19. Here to discuss and provide her perspective is legal expert Jennifer Oliva. She's the director of the Center for Health and Pharmaceutical Law at Seton Hall Law School, and she specializes in health law and policy. We talk about everything from a legal precedent that's been in place for more than 100 years to how the weekly testing option impacts the legal arguments. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let me just ask, what's your take? Are vaccine mandates constitutional?
With some caveats, the answer has generally been yes since about 1905 in the United States. It's a famous case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. Jacob Hennings, he was ordered by a local law to get a smallpox vaccine. There had been a huge smallpox outbreak in the Boston, Massachusetts area circa 1902. Jacobson had grown up in Sweden and as a young boy had an adverse reaction to a vaccine, and he carried that with him in life, and he refused the vaccine. Jacobson decided to challenge that law and refused vaccination throughout the Massachusetts courts and appealed from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court of the United States held that Jacobson was subject to the compulsory vaccination and that the Massachusetts law was valid on the theory that, and we call this the social compact theory, you don't have a right to injure other people, right? It's sort of the notion of, I have the right to swing my arms until, you know, I hit your nose type of deal. Right. So in this situation where we have a contagious disease, the state generally has the right to compulsory vaccinate people. There was one exception in the case, and it's a very important one. And that says that you can't go so far with that, though, to harm an individual at the, you know, in order to help everybody else. If you came into the court with proof, there's something about you where your health would be harmed if you actually got this vaccine, then we would give you an exemption.
And are there acceptable or legitimate religious exemptions?
Well, you know, most states have religious exemptions in their mandatory vaccination laws, but there's no case that has ever said that you have to have a religious exemption. Six states, in fact, do not have religious exemptions in their state mandatory vaccination laws. The test that would apply to that, it was actually a case written by Justice Scalia, Employment Division versus Smith, that was decided in 1990. And in that case, two individuals got fired from their job at a rehabilitation facility for engaging in a Native American ceremony where they traditionally ingested peyote. They challenged that peyote is illegal law all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, arguing that it infringed on their religious beliefs. Justice Scalia said, of course, these are sincerely held religious beliefs, but this is a quote unquote general law of neutral applicability. And what that means is we have to follow general basic laws that are passed, even if they sometimes have an indirect effect on our personal religious beliefs, as long as they aren't directly targeting religion. So what we mean there by a general law is a law that doesn't somehow discriminate against religion, is directly targeting somebody's religion, et cetera. So these are most of the laws that we think about in the United States. Think about most of the criminal laws, paying your taxes. You cannot do a religious exemption to paying your taxes in the United States and succeed because it's your sincerely held religious belief that you shouldn't pay taxes. That's a general law. It's neutrally applicable to everyone. And so you're going to have to follow that law under the current case law as it stands.
What do you make of the argument in general that people should have autonomy over their bodies and what they ingest?
any mandate that gives you options and alternatives, it's going to help diffuse this argument. If any situation was set up where they said, look, you have two choices. You can get tested regularly and show your negative COVID test, or you can get a vaccine. I'm going to call that a testing mandate with a vaccine exception, right? Because you can always comply with the mandate by simply getting the test. So that actually makes it easier to decide a case like that. That does not involve forcing people to take a vaccine or anything like that. So the arguments, bodily autonomy arguments, have really decreased in a situation like that, right? So that's a harder rule to challenge on a, say, freedom of religion clause argument or a bodily integrity argument.
Still ahead, we'll talk about the new vaccine requirement that came from the Biden administration and why Oliva calls it so unusual. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
When was the last time you thought about your mental health? I think it's so important to talk about because our mental health is just as important as our physical health. When anything, even temporarily, might be interfering with your happiness, why not address it? There may be even things you don't realize are getting in your way. So big or small, BetterHelp wants to help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist to help you figure out what's going on. And I love that you can message your therapist anytime. And of course, you can set up phone or video calls to really get the full benefit of BetterHelp. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, grief, relationships, and much more. And if you're ever not happy with your counselor, just change counselors anytime until you find the right fit. And you always connect in a private online environment. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Noom. Whenever I'm having a hard time making a decision between two choices, I try to always stop and ask myself if there is a third option, a different solution or middle ground that maybe I hadn't thought about before. Well, the same can be true when it comes to health and fitness. There can be a lot of pressure to label certain foods just good or bad, or to follow some strict rules if you want results. Well, Noom feels that just creates unnecessary dilemmas and stress. Instead, Noom wants to change how you see food with a psychology-based approach to building healthier habits. It's not about making you feel guilty or regretful. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach is about better understanding your relationship with food and then empowering you to make healthy choices that work with your lifestyle and can be long-lasting. You get to choose your health goals, and Noom will then personalize a program for you. And Noom only needs a daily 10-minute check-in. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, you can sign up for your trial at Noom, that's spelled Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Jennifer Oliva. The Biden administration has told all companies with at least 100 employees that they either have to require the COVID vaccine or require weekly testing. So what are the legal considerations, or I guess what stands out to you about that particular mandate?
Well, it's very novel because the federal government has generally stayed out of this. In our constitutional system, in the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, the protection of public health and safety is delegated to the states. It's left to the states. It's their, you know, one of their powers. For the federal government to intervene in public health and safety matters, they have to point to a nexus between what they're trying to regulate and interstate commerce, right, under the Interstate Commerce Clause. So the argument the government's going to make is that the federal government, unlike, you know, states and localities, has the authority to do this in this novel situation because big companies like this necessarily impact interstate commerce. And let's face the facts, contagious diseases like this don't tend to respect state borders. So you do have a disease that's boundaryless, and you do have big companies engaged in interstate commerce. And that's what the administration will point to here to say that it has the authority, notwithstanding the usual 10th Amendment, the states do this situation, to actually enact these kinds of rules in this public health emergency.
But also, we are seeing states and local governments put in their own mandates and rules. And we've seen a lot of back and forth in some of the states. New York City schools is requiring teachers and other workers to get vaccinated. A federal judge blocked that. And now, recently, an appeals court panel let the mandate stand, I believe, is the latest. So what's going on with cases like that where judges are disagreeing?
Well, I mean, there's any number of reasons why judges could disagree. The first thing the government has to prove is that there's a legitimate public health emergency. So one way you could lose a case like this is that in order to have a restriction on individual liberties, such as you're telling someone to get a vaccine, you have to prove that there's a legitimate public health emergency. That seems like a low bar hurdle in the instant situation. You then have to prove that whatever restriction you're using, you know, is reasonably advances the public health emergency, right? You're trying to stem the tide or transmission of a contagious disease. So is a vaccine a good way to do that? Courts have held yes throughout U.S. history in any number of cases on all sorts of different kinds of vaccines, attacking all sorts of types of contagious diseases. In fact, courts have even upheld vaccine mandates in schools for young people for sexually transmitted diseases, you know, like an HPV vaccine. So that's a type of disease that can't be transmitted by simply going about your life and breathing in air and walking around. Those are STD transmitted diseases, and courts have even upheld them. So the real question in these cases is, do you have a public health emergency? Is this a reasonable means for you to manage the public health emergency that you're presented with? So is a vaccine reasonable to stem the tide of COVID transmission? And is there a good means ends fit? Is what you chose to do proportional to the public health emergency that's going on? We are in new times. We'll see what the courts do. But precedent here, and I stand by this, is very clear. The courts have always deferred in a public health emergency to state and local officials' ability to use vaccine mandates when there's a contagion.
What do you expect next? What do you expect to happen with this debate?
I think that we are going to see a slew of court cases. I think that the other thing that you've already wisely mentioned that we're going to see are individuals, governors, state legislatures, the Biden administration, employers, trying to make sure that what the mandate is offers some options to avoid some of these challenges. And we'll see where it goes.
Well, this conversation, debate, and the court cases are not over. So, of course, we'll continue to bring you updates in our 10-minute news roundups every Monday through Friday. Until then, have a great weekend.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.